organs condition, you know, digestive, you know, tract. You can check liver, stomach, intestines, and bladder maybe. But back shoe, you know, everything connected to shoe point, all the organs, you can tell. Then Watoji point, they, Ishidaka very often use, always use Watoji point.
I'm Michael Max, and this is Cheological. Most of what I set out to do does not get accomplished. The undrunk tea, the hat I imagine to be sportingly dapper, the leftovers lingering forgotten in the refrigerator, the thousands of good intentions, all the ways I was going to make a difference, I trade it for sitting with the sleeping cats who never make any bones about their contentment. I'm thinking it's time to start fewer projects, give things a pass, put to rest that my internal self-worth is tied to something tangible in the world, or simply come to a sort of contentment that there are not enough days in a human life to fit in all of our desires. Perhaps it's better to set out with too little. Trust that empty pockets are not empty potential. Travel lighter and know better what is essential than what's wishful thinking. I've been told that consumerism is an illness and, beyond that, a manipulation. Perhaps, but in the end, I do think it comes down to knowing something of what is essential. And that is a more difficult discernment because if you ask anyone, they'll probably tell you it's better to have a little more than a little less, at least if they're honest. I think that's what they'll tell you. It's better to have undrunk tea than no tea. Better to have an extra pair of shoes if you're fond of the style. Better too many people clamoring for a spot on your table than too few. And that more options is better than fewer. Yes, it's easy to imagine that it's better to have more. Just like false gods give a taste of the eternal, but only in a fleeting way. A bit more or a bit less? What do you think? Which is more satisfying? For which do you long? And perhaps, more to the point, which is more enlivening? These geological conversations come to you through the generous support of our sponsors and members. All the sponsors here provide helpful products or services that you'll find beneficial in your clinical work. Love the healing power of Moxa, but not the smoke? Lhasa OMS has a bit of magic to share with you. I'm a hands-on guy, but I've found that clinic management is actually best done with software, and Jane makes it super easy to get on board. Do you love learning herbs? Golden Flower Chinese Herbs has a fantastic collection of herbal monographs that will expand your knowledge and your skill. And later in the show, listen for some unique opportunities from Ancestral Sturman's Classic Medicine Academy and the folks at Blue Poppy share their amazing teishin needles and other Japanese acupuncture supplies. Do be sure to visit the sponsors page on the Cheological website to take advantage of all the special offers our terrific sponsors have for listeners of the podcast. I want to take a moment and tell you about Jane, my favorite clinic management software and EMR. Whether you're just starting to do your research or you've been contemplating switching your software for a while now, the Jane team understands that the process can feel intimidating. That's why their goal is to provide you with all the onboarding resources you need to make the switch as smooth as possible. Jane offers a personalized call to set up your account, free data import, and a variety of online resources to get you up and running quickly. And if you need a helping hand along the way, you'll have access to unlimited phone, email, and chat support included in your Jane subscription. Interested in learning more? Book a one-on-one demo at jane.app/switch. And if you decide to make the switch, remember to use the code CHEOLOGICAL at sign up to receive a 1-month grace period on your new Jane account. In 1989, John Scott and Loretta Monda saw a big problem with the Chinese herbs they had access to, as a significant number of imported herbs were adulterated with undisclosed ingredients. They wanted to provide the safest, most effective Chinese herbal products at a fair price, and that's what started the company. Like you, they care about their patients, and they wanted the best for them. Golden Flower Chinese Herbs has traditional formulas along with novel, modern ones to help you treat your patients and family with effective, potent Chinese herbal medicine in tablet form. Have you seen Golden Flower's excellent monographs? You can find them on their website. Take a deep dive and explore Chinese herbal thought, theory, and practice. Golden Flower is a practitioner-founded and operating company crafting solutions for other practitioners. Visit them online at www.gfcherbs.com and enjoy those monographs. I recently had an amazing experience. Lhasa OMS let me try the revolutionary Premio 10 Moxa device by Sedatelic. For people like me who can't tolerate smoke, it's a game changer in moxotherapy. Crafted with an ergonomic design, the Premio 10 smokelessly generates the heat signature of moxa. It's not just hot, it's moxa hot. The patients I've used this with love it. If moxa smoke is an issue, you'll love this device that supports both stick-like and precise Japanese-style treatments. It's a modern innovation that supports your traditional work. Elevate your practice with the Premio 10. You can get it at lhasaoms.com. And for the next 2 months, get 15% off your entire order using MAX15 at checkout. That's MAX15 at checkout at lhasaoms.com. Offer expires 5/31. Some exclusions apply. I have a naturally wide contrarian streak. I get nervous when I find myself towards the top of the bell curve. I'd rather knock around at the weedy edges, travel the blue roads to a small town, purposely look where others are not. And so I've got a natural inclination to investigate non-mainstream methods. I'm curious about approaches to herbs and especially acupuncture that has not found its way into a textbook. So when a pal suggested I speak with Kubota Sensei, I was delighted when the email introducing us landed in my inbox. Kubota Sensei practices Ishizakuru, an old Edo style of acupuncture. It's partially informed by the influence of Western anatomy from a Dutch medical book, which was brought to Japan in the 1730s, and it caught the attention of Ishizaka Sotensu, who was the court physician to the 11th shogun. As with other non-TCM streams of acupuncture, it invites us into thinking and working with the body in a different way. Let's get into this. Kubota Sensei, welcome to Chiological.
Thank you. Thank you.
I love, as we were talking earlier, I love acupuncture. It's always so much fun to explore the different techniques that we all have and to talk about this really incredible medicine. Mm-hmm. My friend David Engstrom introduced us and told me that you have a unique method of acupuncture.
Right.
It's Japanese, you are, but it's a bit different than some of the other methods that we might have heard of, that I should sit down and have a conversation with you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I'm curious to know something about this method. It's Ishizakuru.
Yeah.
And first of all, I'm curious, how long have you been doing acupuncture now?
45 years.
You've been at it for quite a while.
Yes.
So is this the method that you first learned when you were younger, or what did your original schooling look like?
Yeah, after I finished Meiji acupuncture school, I met three masters in Ishizakuru. So mostly I learned from those three teachers. So school, you know, they don't teach like this anymore. And most of the Japanese even don't know existing this Ishizaka Ryu. So it's an old traditional school, but mostly all die out, and all three, my teacher is all gone. So only me am teaching in whole world, and few maybe student left in Japan, and I taught some in America, few, and my daughter, David, and the other guy. So about three students I had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, how is this method different from what someone might have learned in traditional acupuncture school? How is Ishizaka Ryu different from, say, TCM or maybe even some of the other Japanese acupuncture methods?
Yeah, main difference is we focus on root cause of all the disease. So we don't treat symptomatic things first. We treat whole body as a unit, and we treat main energy flow and blood flow in the body, which is we call Great Chonmai, but I'll later talk to you about explaining. Great Chonmai is different than regular Chonmai, and it's a main energy flow in the whole body. It's that's the key, and we gonna try to open up chi energy flow and the blood flow and nerve flow and all the flow in the whole body. So that is different, and it's all the symptom will kind of disappear after you have the several treatment, not several, maybe many treatment, then gradually they are some of symptom will disappear. So that's the difference.
So I think many acupuncture traditions share this idea that there's some kind of a root, and getting to the root is usually what we would like to do. And then there's the branch, often the symptomatic presentation that we work on. It sounds like with this method, treating the root is the most important thing. And you said that that you're focusing on the Chong channel,
right?
But if I heard you correctly, it's different than the eight meridian Chong channel. How's it different?
Yeah, this is we lost in the history the main Chonmai. In the history, Ishizaka, they call or Wang Bing, they got Nai Ching and explain, and they use name Great Chonmai, which is mm-hmm. different than regular Chonmai. And I thought, what's Great Chonmai? So then I find out it's the energy flow in the whole universe and whole body, human body, and home, our earth, everybody, and all the proton, electron, everything have same energy flow. That's we call torus energy flow, which is like looks like a bagel, you know, bagel, like mm-hmm. donuts, mm-hmm. and whole universe have same energy flow in and out this surface of the donuts, mm-hmm. and human body same things, and electron move in proton in and out same ways, and electromagnetic field in the earth move same way.
Yes, I've seen pictures of the, I forget the name, is it the Van Allen belt or something? I've seen pictures of the energetic, like magnetic, and yes, it is a torch.
And if you see the picture of black hole, they have in the middle have a axis, like a tube kind of shape energy moving into the center of the hole, black hole, then there is a disk around it, then go out other way, so that the axis, center axis, they call jet on the black hole. So when they go through the to the center, they create everything create at the center, than then like a lower than then in the human, and a surrounded disk is the yin yang disk go around, so like a vortex or a hurricane have a same shape, have a hurricane, then have a center hole is a empty, it has to be empty to move the energy flow. And if you clogged up that main energy flow in the center, people get sick because energy not going to move. You had to have a whole empty space to move yin yang energy, go around it. So the torus energy, torus is the donut shape, so you have a big hole in the middle. That's where they can move energy flow. So it's a human, same thing. If it's main energy flow from by Fu to Fu Yin, have a big hole, an energy hole, you know, goes through up and down the center. So if that clogged up, your whole body gets energy, not move. And the blood, chi flow, energy flow, blood flow, it's all stopped. So in order to open that center energy, great chonmai, we call, you can use acupuncture, but they can't go deeper to the center of the body because it's too deep. So we choose the next to the chonmai. So we go surround it. So use dumai or wato jiaji point, or bladder meridian to stimulate center energy flow on the chonmai. Then mai, we use some hara point on the renmai and the kidney meridian and maybe stomach. So those things will open up main energy flow on the great chonmai. So that, okay. Yeah. So
let me make sure I've got this. And it's a lovely image. I mean, I get the image of the torus. I understand, you know, the hurricane, the tornado, the whirlpool. There's so many things where there is an empty middle, and yet everything moves around that empty middle. There's something very poetic in a way that there's emptiness at the center.
So that I found from Lao Tzu. Tao Te Ching.
Tao Te Ching.
Yeah, he mentioned that chom. He used word chom three times in Tao Te Ching. And the most important chapter was 42. Tao create one create two create three creates 10,000 things. Then
three creates all the trouble in the world.
Yeah, that's the thing. So then after that, he say, the 10,000 things carry yin and embrace yang. Then say they achieve harmony by combine these force. So he used chong qi. Chong qi harmonize yin yang, which is dumai and renmai, like he's talking about in the body. So, but chong qi harmonize yin yang, which is chonmai is control whole body, 12 meridians and qi flow and blood flow. So it's most important meridian is chonmai, the more than dumai or renmai or 12 meridians.
So let me see if I understand. So when you're thinking chonmai,
yeah,
to some degree, you're thinking the eight extraordinary meridian, right, chongmai, right, the one in the very center, right, the sea of blood. Uh-huh. But you're thinking of it in larger terms than that.
Right. Yeah.
It also includes the renmai. It also includes the du. There's this inner core channel. Mm-hmm.
So that's also another saying, another part, chapter four, he say Dao equal Chong. Chong, Chong is Dao. I mean, you know, it's the same thing, empty. They call empty vessel, never fill. So the Dao is the Chong, empty vessel. It is used but never filled. So empty cup, or you know, empty cup, you can fill water. If it's full water, you can't put any more water. So that's the another chapter he used Chong. Then one more chapter, chapter 45, saying same kind of thing. The great fullness seems empty. That's empty is he used the Chong, empty, hollow tube. Yet cannot be exhausted. So that's also called in Chong is the tube shape, empty space in the center of the body. Right.
So your work then, in a very fundamental way, focuses on keeping that emptiness
right
in the center, unobstructed.
Right. So that's most important before we go with the branch, 12 meridian or other meridians. Otherwise, you kind of put in a carriage before horse. You have to,
yes,
you have to work on deep, deep roots. That's the roots.
So often, you know, again, we have this term root treatment in different acupuncture traditions, and different traditions, it will often mean something different. Sometimes practitioners look to balance out the five phases, or maybe they're looking to balance yin yang.
Right.
And in your perspective here is that there's this emptiness at the center that everything else, because of that emptiness, the chi, the blood, everything can flow unobstructed.
Right.
And so for you, that's what the root is.
Yeah. That's
keeping that open.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. You know, so often I think we want to help people and we want to try to either give them something or take something away from them. Mm-hmm. And our treatments are often not effective because we've actually missed something in the beginning, which is getting the root set properly.
Yeah, many people say root treatment, but doesn't go really deep, deep in the center. That's kind of missed it in history somewhere. So I kind of dig up Lao Tzu again and find out, what's he saying? Is a choma. Is the roots almost equal to Dao. So you have to go back to that original energy flow. So
this is interesting too, because so often we talk about looking at lines from the Nanjing or the Huangdi Neijing. It's not too often that I hear somebody quoting Lao Tzu in terms of looking at medicine.
This is Shuan by Wang Bin. It was he wrote the Neijing Shuan. And he, in the chapter one, he called seven times Lao Tzu. Seven times. And first mentioned chapter 42 in the second line or third line. So that's
of the Shuan.
Yeah, Shuan. First chapter. He see most important idea or philosophy or whatever they call from came all the Xuan's philosophy or theory came from Lao Tzu.
Hi everyone, Anne Cecil Sturman here. I'd like to let you know about the Classical Medicine Academy, a place where students and seasoned practitioners gather to deepen their working knowledge of the complete classical acupuncture and dietary systems. CMA is subscription-based and live online, providing 20 hours per month of question and answer sessions in acupuncture, channel practice, dietary medicine, cultivation and Qigong classes, plus self-paced courses in many subjects, including pulse diagnosis, plus hundreds of hours of archived classes in dietary medicine taught by my husband, Andrew Sturman, plus hundreds of hours of archived classes taught by me, Cody Dodo, and Daniel Post. Join our heart-centered community and bring questions and cases for discussion. You'll be invited to join our private Facebook community group, where over 750 people network to discuss cases and theory with classical practitioners on five continents. Welcome to the Classical Medicine Academy tab on my website, AnnCecilSturman.com. See you there.
Now, Kubota-sensei, yeah. this idea of the empty center, is this part of the acupuncture tradition that you practice, or is this something that you've come to on your own through your 45 years of experience?
Yeah, part of my study in Ishidaka Ryu, but Ishidaka, they develop a treatment protocol for kind of stimulating the chonmai in the center. So, but not really exactly he mentioned, but he used in the book, his book, he wrote about 40 books, but a couple of books he mentioned great chonmai as a descending aorta, coming from heart, then go down the whole body. So that image, like a chonmai, you know, the artery is a hollow tube. So
yes, full of blood.
Right. So blood and qi and blood go move together. So he was kind of study Western anatomy that point, the time. So he tried not to mention qi flow because you can't see it. But the blood flow you can see. And when you do dissect people, you see the tube, you know, a bunch of tube all over. Digestive tube, you know, blood tube and nerve tube. Those things you can, Western medical term, you can use. So that's what he chose as a descending aorta. So he tried to go integrate Western medicine and Eastern, you know, Oriental medicine. So I had to kind of make sense to both sides. So he told Western doctor acupuncture, and when he was living, doctor from German, Siebel, he's a German doctor, came to Japan that time 200 some years ago, and he taught Western medicine and anatomy, physiology, all the surgery and stuff. But so he was very interested in Ishidaka's idea in acupuncture, because not just the original Chinese theory he is using, he using Western medical anatomy and physiology to put it together, integrate. Trying to integrate. So that's,
and this was over 200 years ago.
Yeah, 200 something years ago.
So. That Ishizaka was integrating Western physiology with Eastern medicine.
Right. So that's, he was kind of knew great chonmai is a very important part of the body. So, Wang Bing was known too because he used named Great Chonmai in the first chapter in the Suen. And when the woman, 7+7, 14, they open up Renmai and Great Chonmai, he mentioned, to start period and all the can have a baby. Why he use great, you know, not just the chon. So they have a hint. I had, he is saying great chonmai too. So it's something, you know, big. And use the kanji, tai, like a big, but have a chon in the middle. So bigger than dai, great.
So it's bigger than da. It's like tai, like taiyang.
Yeah, taiyang.
So it's like the great, yes, the great chon.
Yes, kind of hint. I got a hint from Lao Tzu and Wang Bing and Ishidaka. So I came up this idea that Torah, I put the Taurus energy flow theory now all the Western, astrophysics people talk about black holes and universe, how the energy move, and they start knowing the torus flow and the whole universe and the whole. So everything in the universe is came from only one thing, one matter, single basic matter. So that's why all energy move same way, big macro to micro scale, and the middle is the human. So all, we have a torus energy flow in the whole body. We have actually three, but the heart and the brain and the intestines. So three.
So wait a minute, let me make sure I'm following this. You're saying there's three separate torus-like flows that are part of the great Chong flow.
Right. But the Chong, great Chong is controlling whole body's energy flow.
Yes.
Right? And the black hole that call the, they don't call Chong, but they call jet. And jet, like a jet flow, energy flow. And the most powerful energy moves through that jet.
Through the empty center.
Right. And then go to center, that's the black hole. And then create the whole universe and comes out to other side to create white hole, become white hole.
Okay. Now, I love this idea and it makes sense to me.
Yeah.
You know, again, it's just thinking about how nature works. Yeah. You know, I'm looking outside at some plants that my wife has planted, and they're beautiful flowers. Mm-hmm. And at the center of these flowers, generally speaking, is an empty space. The stalk has an empty space in the center.
Everything is in a similarity in the nature of a fractal and shape, the same shape coming on in and on. All the time.
Yes.
And the torus energy flow is also like this.
You know what? Hang on a second. Just hold that right up there, because I am going to take a picture.
Yeah. Yes. Good.
So that we can share this with our listeners. It'll be on the show notes page.
Okay. Good.
Got a picture of a torus in front of us here from. Kubota sensei. Yep. Okay.
So you can buy this toy at Amazon. You know, you can buy it at Amazon.
Yeah. Well, you know, it. So here's the funny thing. Yeah. It's a toy, but is it really a toy, right? Or is it a map? Is it a map of the human body?
Outside is the 12 meridians. Inside the middle is the chong, but this, it's blocked up. Okay. So energy doesn't move, but if you put the tube in the middle, okay?
Yeah.
They move, energy move. You see that?
Oh, yes, I do.
Yeah.
You know what? We're going to have to take, I'm going to have you, later on, we're going to make a little movie of this so that we can share it with people, because this image that you're showing me with this so-called toy,
toy
is a very interesting map
of
the meridians and how they interact.
Yeah. So it's using toy to make it easy to understand what's going on here. See.
Yes. Now, when you're working with people in clinic, how do you assess the state of someone's great Chong?
Yeah. So let's come to, you know, how to diagnose or, you know, check the people's body's blockage. So in Japan, they use left hand per patient. That's the main hand will tell you what is the blockage is. And main blockage usually build up around your spine. That's the focus point. And you search both sides of the spine and you will feel the blockage, you know, hardness in the muscle.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the, this is a blockage. Then you go to treat those things. Pretty simple. The hand diagnosis is most primitive but most accurate. So not like a pulse or not tongue. They make a different decision. In the pulse, in a very famous study here, in Japanese, 10 Japanese pulse diagnosis authority, and they check the same person and they came up with 10 different answers. So yeah, mm-hmm. it could be very different from one to one. But the touching is exactly way it is, you can find it. And that's always my teachers say, your real teacher is your patient. That's the relationship, you and your patient. That's all it is. Not from book, not from video or something. You just ask patient what's wrong and the touching. That's it. So. Mm-hmm.
So you palpate the abdomen and you palpate the back?
Back is more important. Not the hara.
Back is more important.
Oh yeah, hara. Hara is more like organs condition. Digestive. Tract. You can check mm-hmm. liver, stomach, intestines, and bladder maybe. But back shoe, everything connected to shoe point, all the organs. You can tell. Mm-hmm. Then Watojaji point. Ishizaka very often always uses Watojaji point. And there's a typically those blockage build up Watojaji line or bladder line. Sometimes if it's severe case, they go to the mm-hmm. both.
So you just palpate along the actual vertebrae in that case.
So well, that's, I think, more important than hara diagnosis. And there's a lot of people kind of missed it, kind of forgot about back shoe diagnosis. Yeah.
I think you might be the first person that I've spoken with who's said back shoe diagnosis. I know that it's possible to palpate the back shoe points, and sometimes that will tell you something. Sometimes, areas will be gummy or they're weak or they're tight. But thinking about taking the back as a whole, which it sounds like you're doing, mm-hmm. in the same way that I might palpate an abdomen, or we might palpate a pulse to see what the entirety of that back shoe mm-hmm. line has to say.
Yeah,
I had not considered it like that before. Mm.
Yeah, that's very important.
I hear that. Now,
it's like a treat about use 90% back shoe point. Hara, maybe 10%.
That is okay. So that's very different from some of the Japanese acupuncture I've been exposed to in the past.
Yeah, mostly they focus on hara.
Yes. Now, when you do your root treatment, what's that like? Are you needling the shoe points? Are you needling points on the extremities and looking for changes along the shoe points? What does it look like?
Primary treatment or something, all same. The user first started from left daijo, it's a brother 11, mm-hmm. then go down the Wato point, Watojaji, all the way down to the sacrum.
So you do the whole left side.
Right. Then go to...
Before you do the right side.
Yeah, you can either way, you can do the right side or left side. Usually I do people right on the right side down, then go left side Wato point on the, they lie on the sideway. Then they go mm-hmm. face down, they go to right side Wato. Then go turn other way, left side down to do right side Wato point. Then turn over.
So they're not just laying flat, they're laying on their side?
Yeah. It's important to practice. It's a practicing. Well, I'm still practicing 45 years later, because some people, they can't lie on the stomach. So you have to practice treating with the sideways. It's a little harder to do, but like a pregnant woman, I had a pregnant mm-hmm. woman. She can't lie on the stomach because.
Of course.
Pressing the baby.
And some people with certain kinds of back pain mm-hmm. have trouble laying on their stomach as well.
Yeah, you have to practice treating the sideways.
And so you go all the way down from just outside of a dajue, right?
Yeah.
You go all the way down to the sacrum.
Sacrum table. Then go up some of...
Now, are you doing every single
yeah.
shoe point or just certain ones that you feel?
Watou point, mostly.
Started, do all the Watou.
Yeah, started Watou point. Then you can go to the shoe point later if you have time. you mm. know? Short treatment, you can do 30 minutes Watou, both sides. Longer treatment, I do our treatment in the... using Watou and the brother and line two, line one. so yeah, I had to use like 800 point an hour treatment.
Okay, so this is a lot of points.
Yeah.
Are you putting needles and retaining them? Or are you putting it in, taking it out? What it,
so that's traditional way Japanese treated in it. And a lot of school, different school, Ishizaka is one of them, just put in, tap in, take it out, tapering. So first time goes very shallow, like a seppi, you know, maybe 2-3 minutes, millimeter, mm. then take it out, then go. So that's kind of pre, you know, going deeper later, but you make people relax. Some people go to sleep already. So then you can go deeper later. And you, when you doing, you call yudoshi, but in and out, you finding the blockage too. You know, diagnosis and treatment same time.
Of course, yeah. This is one of the wonderful things about using palpation in our work is we can both assess and we can treat and we can check the effect of our treatment to see what's going on in real time.
So. You can tell when you're going loosening up muscles get to relax and the people fall asleep and, you know so that's working you know that's the first step then the blockage we call cockage hard knot in the muscle that's blocking mm-hmm. the energy flow and the blood flow and nerve flow so that's the aiming we aim in the opening up those blockage it's mainly build up toxic acids in the bodies they get hard in the muscles so most of the diseases you know mostly come from too much acid build up
some kind of stagnation
yeah so and tend to build up around the spine that's the main spot And hollow, some hollow, but mostly if you open up blockages around the spine, that really help to people, you know, any condition.
And again, this is the root treatment. Mm. It opens up the center of that torus. Mm-hmm. And, you know, tong shi bu tong shi tong, as they say in Chinese, right? Where there's openness, there's no pain. Where there's pain, there's no openness. Or maybe the other way around. Anyway, you know my point, that we remove those obstructions, the system takes care of itself. Now, you're just tapping the needles in. Mm. Do you stimulate them at all? Are you looking for a sensation?
First, very shallow thing. We use a tube and tapped in, then to take a tube mm-hmm. out, then go push a couple of times. Put. You know, just mm-hmm. 1 millimeter, 2 millimeter, go, but we don't twist, never twist.
Never twist.
No, we do jip, 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 like a bird, twitching bird kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's less painful. If you twist it, it hurts. You know, it kind of stick to the muscle and the painful when you pull, mm-hmm. pull muscle. So we never twist it. We just go pump, pump, you know, just
You just go up and down, right, you just kind of peck with
so,
it.
So then take it out. So that's first step, you know, shallow, very 3 millimeter and a seppi, then maybe 2-3 millimeter. And so total maybe 5 millimeter deep, mm-hmm. then take it out.
Left side, right side.
you can do simplified, you know, if you have.
Oh, no, this sounds good. Yeah. I've got a patient coming in, interestingly enough. I don't usually work on a Wednesday afternoon, which is when we're talking, but I just got a call. Concussion, blah, blah, blah,
yeah.
you know, long-time patient. So it's like, of course, come in. Yeah. And I'm thinking, wow, concussion.
Mm-hmm.
Well, golly, if we could just open up the flow.
Yeah.
This I'm very curious now to get this person on my table mm. and see how it feels along the Watojaji points.
Yeah, right.
I have not considered this before for concussion. I'm very curious now.
You can work on the neck point, you know, Wato point, mm-hmm. and go up. You can use a scarp point, any scarp point too. But mm-hmm. opening up a neck, the blood flow to the brain, it'll help. All around the neck, started the Wato.
Right, so like the stomach points and the gallbladder points.
Go to the front. So those things help blood flow to the brain. So mm-hmm. that it should help to it. And I do some scalp acupuncture. Japanese doctor Yamamoto, they did embedded some scalp acupuncture. But sometimes I use those too. Mm-hmm.
The Teixin is a gentle and effective tool for treating patients without inserting acupuncture needles. Using a Teixin causes no pain or discomfort, allowing practitioners to treat even the most sensitive of people. Using the Teixin invites practitioners to evolve senses and dormant capacities. Humans are capable of great subtlety, far greater than we often believe. Working with the Teixin compels us to confront many of our assumptions about what makes acupuncture effective. This exciting journey of self-discovery helps practitioners to refocus how they practice acupuncture. If you'd like to dig in deeper, check out episode 303, where I talk about all things Teixin with Dr. Bob Quinn. Blue Poppy carries a series of handcrafted Teixins created by a silversmith cooperative in San Pancho, Mexico. They also offer many videos on their YouTube channel, which provides basic instruction on how to use a Teixin and other non-insertive tools that they carry. Dr. Bob Quinn's best-selling book on how to effectively use the Teixin is also available. Visit www.bluepoppy.com for Teixins and other fine Japanese acupuncture tools. So this is the root treatment, doing these Watojaji, or you could do the first bladder line. Mm-hmm. What do you do after that? Is there other treatment? Maybe there's something symptomatic or something specific?
Yeah, then I finish back and then go to Hara. So do the Renmai, then kidney meridian on the Hara, then maybe stomach. Those are... But don't go deep, front side, very shallow. You just kind of checking any blockage on the organ. Sometimes if you find it, you can go a little longer to kind of go up and down, then kind of trying to loosen up. But most of the people, not often I found those tumor or blockage in the stomach. You know, if somebody have cancer, maybe, but regular patient, I see very, mostly little bit too soft side. Back is get hard, then opposite in yang. So yang side get hard, but the front is very chubby or soft. So mm-hmm. it's kind of trying to get balance, Backside get softer and the front side make a little bit shrink in the front.
Yes. Now, do you check the Hara before you check the Watojaji in the back, or do you just go right to the Watojaji?
To the Watojaji first, yeah.
So Watojaji first.
Yeah, and end the treatment, you go to Hara and check the Hara. Yeah, mm-hmm. that's my kind of way, sequence, I guess.
Okay. And again, so I love this idea. I'm just sitting here thinking about, again, the image of the Taurus is very compelling, partly because we do see it all over the place in nature, and partly because it just kind of makes sense that there's this core around which the other acupuncture meridians are all connected, so interwoven, really, when you think about it.
I read this Daniel Spark.
Oh, the spark in the machine.
It's very also, I learned from his idea about doctor in America, I think a surgeon, study with the salamanders. They amputate salamander's limb. They regrow arm or leg easily, salamander.
Salamanders are amazingly regenerative creatures. Yeah, cut their leg off, they make a new leg.
So this doctor, I forgot the name, but he measures the electrical energy in the surface or the cut part. They change the positive to negative minus energy flow. And they, so a minus energy electron is the heating energy. So they draw blood and they change the blood cell to basics, going back embryo stem cell. Then they rebuild the arm or leg from blood. But they draw minus electron, draw the blood to that part. They switch to stem cell. They grow back. And he measured those energy flow just identical to meridians. So he can prove meridians from his machines.
From checking the energy flow.
Yeah. So
now, I know for some people it's really important to, you know, objectively, air quotes here, prove that meridians exist. I know for myself, I've kind of given up on trying to prove their existence because I've found that if I work and act and think as if they were there, it seems to be helpful to my patients.
Yeah, they're there. I mean, it's really hard to prove scientifically. So I just
yeah, but do we actually need to prove it scientifically?
No, not necessarily. I don't think you just you see whole nature. It's, you know, you see the energy flow on a flower, or you know, just everything is have a spiral torus energy flow. Then that's create everything in the nature. So it's proving, nature is already proving. So it's a, you know, kind of, I don't think necessary to go through that. And another thing, acupuncture, how this work is the, when you put the needle in, they draw the electron because antenna, right? Your antenna draw electron. And also, if you drill the hole in the body, like a well, that also draw electron too. So two ways, the antenna draw electron, then drilling the hole to the body also bring the, is because called, doctors say, current of injury. When you cut skin, and current of injury start, that's the minus electron comes too, then heal, trying to heal the cut. So that's happened in the salamander too, the big scale. So human does same thing. When you have a needle stuck in the body, is a needle antenna that draw the electron. Then when you drill the hole, also the, draw the electron too. So the two way. So people did the study on Earth acupuncture. You know, they do and stick a bamboo pole in the Earth, or drill the well, and they bring a cold injured current. And when injured current is making those torus energy flow each needle site. So when you put the hundreds of needle in and out of the hole, each you have a small mini torus energy flow start. So that's why you use more number.
So let me make sure I've got this. Yeah. I love the image. So we've got the great chong, which is this sort of tube through the middle of us. Acupuncture, if I'm understanding you correctly, has a very sort of weak's probably not the right word, a subtle electric impact in that it brings negative electrons to the area being treated. Negative electrons are associated with regeneration, as they discovered with the salamander experiments. And we can even think of a little energy flow each time you put a needle in, that you're creating a little mini torus. There's an energy exchange that's happening that is three-dimensional.
Right, three-dimensional.
And it kind of spins around itself.
So it's amazing. This is how scientists figured all the three-dimensional image on the black hole, all of that helped to understand how exact three-dimensional energy flow, you know, not just a flat paper. You can kind of understand, but if you have a 3D image, it's really, you know, kind of understand.
Three-dimensional energy flow.
Yeah. It's everything in the nature, like a tree. Tree is a torus. They have a trunk, and they have a rim and the root.
Sure.
And they go, whoo, yes. You know, like making torus.
You know, now that you mention
torus
it.
Torus shape.
Yes. I cannot see the roots of the trees in my front yard that I'm looking out on, but I can see the top of the tree. I can imagine the root, and yes, it is a torus shape.
Right.
So this is all over the place.
So you can do acupuncture in the earth to heal the earth.
Well, you know, they've got a big, I don't know if it's big, but I think they've got this kind of art project. Mm-hmm. I think it's in Portland, Oregon, where they've got these giant acupuncture needles that are
okay.
Sticking in the earth. You know, it's an art project. But maybe it's more. No wonder Portland's so popular.
Earth is a living thing too, like a human. That
of course.
So you can do acupuncture. Yeah, that's, you know, yeah. So they can improve soil quality. And then vegetables grow better when you do acupuncture on the earth. Yeah. Let's do the study. You know, they did that study. And yeah.
What study is this?
It's called Japanese scientist. He studied this ancient Japanese Kototama language. And it's a
Now, wait a minute. Kototama, isn't that also an acupuncture tradition as well?
Yeah. They all came from Kototama tradition. They have a healing practice, like using energy from hands, palm healing. Or Reiki, and now they changed the name to Jinshin or Reiki, but they all came from energy hand healing in ancient Japan, 10,000 years ago. That's the original of healing practice. Then went to Amma massage, you know. Then went to using tool, whether it's a stick or a stone, and then going to needle. That's all the original Japanese acupuncture all came from hand energy healing.
Now, in your work, I understand you use needles, and you've already spoken with us about how you use them, kind of a bird pecking sort of motion. Not a lot of stimulation, just a little. Do you also use your hands in some way?
Yeah.
In terms of moving chi or interacting with the body beyond simply palpation?
I created own technique. Your right hand picking up and down, that's not twisting, but you can use left hand to, I kind of pinch the skin to pull it up, then put the needle in the middle, then you make clockwise circle that make a torus energy flow. That's the most powerful acupuncture I ever seen. You break up any hardness, and when you do this with the chi, you're using hara and dandan energy, not the muscle power, but go like this, because you use whole body to kind of circle around. And
right, so this motion that you're doing with the pecking, and then your
Oshide
is actually moving the tissue, but it's not that your hands are moving, It's that your hara is moving, and so everything's moving, including your hands.
Not just the finger, you know. Uh-huh. Yeah. Then a lot of people use just the finger to, you know, seppi, you know, cut the skin, but that's not way you do. You just go like a whipping, use the whole body to whip to put the needle in with a tube. So that's way much less painful. You know, you just don't feel it. It's because so quickly it's insert and under the skin. But if you do like this finger, finger is painful. Mm-hmm. Sting, make it more sting. You know.
But if your finger is attached to your hand and your hand is attached to your arm and your arm is attached to your shoulder, which is attached to your spine, which is attached to your hara,
right,
and the motion comes from the hara, then the needle's painless.
Yeah, that's most powerful, really, because it's using the whole body. You know, that's my teacher. I always say you watch teacher way, you know, distance. So you see whole body, the movement, you know, not just a finger. They don't use just a finger. You just, whole body is kind of, you know, yes, wobbling. So yeah, this is make much more chi energy go through that to the needle.
Okay. I wanted to switch the subject just a little bit. You were generous enough to send me some articles, which I've read over the past week. And one of the things that you talk about is working with the lymph and working with the fluids. And that really got my attention, partly because I've been doing some different study and the body fluids really have my attention these days. Yeah. And so I'm curious to get your thoughts on the lymph fluid, how we can work with it, what it does from an acupuncture point of view, and how working with the fluids can help our patients.
Well, ancient, they call qi, ketsu, sui, you know, water, blood, and the qi. Those three have to be opened up. So sui is a, you know, fluid, body fluid. So when you do acupuncture like this, you will stimulate the whole three things. Then you will affect the lymph fluid too, because everything connected is just not just completely separate three things. You know, just the blood and qi go move through together, and the lymph is kind of go with the other. So it'll be stimulate the qi flow and blood flow and the lymph flow too, because then kind of also detoxified and neutralize all the toxic poison build up in the blood circulation or lymph gland. So it's new acupuncture is a detoxification is the whole body. Right? So
so you think of the lymph and the fluid as the mechanism for the body's detoxification.
So everything, when the acids build up in the blood or lymph, they clogged up.
Mm.
Because when you eat acid foods like meat, dairy, sugar, your blood water, liquid, and blood flow get thicker, much kind of sticky fluid in the blood. They clogged up in an artery or lymph vein. So
I think we often call this dampness.
Yeah. So that's mucus or whatever. They're all acidic foods. It's causing sugar, dairy, meat. So those three is the main thing. But the most acids is chemical. So we ingest a lot of chemical things that's mostly acidic to build up. So that's a new kind of things people have to go through, detox all the chemical and food.
So for you then, the way that a person eats is very important.
Oh yeah, that's the most basically health. I study macrobiotic and all the diet, so I know very important. And it's a balance, you know, you have to have a in both on then acid alkaline food both too. To balancing is the you're the one, the center. You choose should I eat in food or should I eat young food or should I eat acid food or should I eat alkaline? You have choice. But people really kind of forgot which one is most healthier, you know, which ones kind of make you sick. So they eat all kind of stuff, but it kind of hard to pinpointing which one shouldn't maybe not so eat too much. Yeah. So basically acid foods, a lot of people don't mention much, but some doctors say, yeah, if you alkalize your whole body, this, get healthier. That's the truth. Mm-hmm.
So you're a fan of alkaline foods, alkaline fluids, trying to reduce the acidic balance of the body. Mm-hmm.
So any I see like blockage, koketsu, we call kori or koketsu, and hardening in the muscle or organ. That's basically all acidic things build up.
Okay. So this is why sometimes you can palpate somebody. It could be their back, it could be their leg, their arm, I mean, all kinds of places. And there's all these little nodule-like things.
Right. That's acid.
So from your point of view, this is an area of acid buildup.
Yeah, that's right. So needle can loosening and bring a heating energy, electron, then the blood, new blood is come and carry out all the acids.
Now, you mentioned that you have a few students. You've also mentioned at the beginning of our conversation that this Ishizakaru, this method of treatment that you have, you know, it's an old Japanese method, but not taught so much. Are you teaching it these days? Are there classes that you give? How would people find out more?
Bunch of seminar in the past, and I wrote a bunch of article and wrote some book, and I'm teaching starting October new series at the Taoist tradition Chinese Medical Arts College in Asheville. So October, a 5 week once a week for like a 2-hour session for 5 weeks. That's the one cool. Then another 10-hour and another 10-hour. So 30-hour course starting October. Then maybe new year, next year, starting second one and the third one.
Okay, wonderful. I will be sure to put some information on the show notes page. So people that have been listening to this who were interested in finding out more about the great Chong and these fantastic Taurus energy flows can maybe learn to do some of this work themselves.
Yeah, I think, my mission is this is my learn from my three master and they all die, so they can teach. So that's my part to pass on to new generation. That's my work. So thank you.
This is a life cycle, really, of an acupuncturist. We learn it, we practice it, we pass it along.
All right.
All right. Well, Kubota-sensei, thank you so much for making a little time to talk with me today. I am very excited to go into clinic and start palpating the Watojaji points. And see what I see. It's not something I've done before, so I'm curious to see what I find.
So they will tell you.
Okay.
What's wrong there?
I will go and listen carefully.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Thanks so much.
No problem.
I loved Kubota-sensei's attention to the empty middle around which hurricanes, whirlpools, and black holes spin, that there is a potent stillness in the midst of movement, and that the human body, yes, we too reflect that. I'm not versed in his treatment methods, but taking this idea, and beyond that, giving attention to the stillness that holds the center for movement, wherever we happen to find that, that seems like an invitation to take my attention away from the 10,000 things and instead put it in the place of more what in the Tao Te Ching, the old one, called the Valley Spirit, the stillness that underlies and supports activity. There is something deeply potent about stillness. Thanks as always for listening. If you liked this conversation, if you learned something new or found a moment of inspired insight, share the episode with your friends. If you want to support Geological, there's just one way to do that. It's by going to the website and becoming a member or leaving a one-time contribution today. Well, folks, that's it for today. Join us again next Tuesday for another conversation that connects up the voices of our community.